What is power? I'm actually asking you. Go ahead. Oh, thank you. Mass, for those listening online, mass times acceleration, we have the nerd definition. Thank you very much, Patrick Smith. That was Patrick Smith. All right. Anybody else want to give it a shot? Well, no, not if Pastor Todd's going to give me a hard time. But what is power? Strength and endurance. When it control, when it comes to people, well, you know, nobody said electrical or any of that stuff. I'm a simple guy. Power is simply the ability to get things done. And we understand that, right? And even when I knew I'd asked that, we understand power, we utilize that verbiage, but to be able to truly define it, unless you have the mathematical equation to it, is difficult because, you know, we experience it at different levels. And any given circumstance that you find yourself in, you might be in a place that you have more power, and then you switch circumstances or whatnot, and you have less. Maybe you are lucky enough to be in upper management at your job, so you get to experience more power. I definitely have more power at my job because I'm Beth's boss, and then I go home and the power switches over, and I lose power. And so I really like my job because 9 hours a week, I am the boss. Yes, you heard that. That's going online as well. I thought I would have heard an amen. But no, that's all right. You guys, you're scared. I get it. But what about your faith? I guess if we would ask that question, do you feel powerful in your faith? And you know, I'm not, this one is just between you and God and the fence post. If you would really have to give me an answer, how would you answer that? Because here's the thing, and yes, I'm speculating, and no, it doesn't mean everybody, but I think there are a lot of powerless Christians out there. There are people that just, you know, maybe they roll into church every once in a while, they aren't really in the Word, and so they, you know what, they have Jesus in their heart, they're doing their thing, but man, they look out in the world, and they see all the negatives and all those things, and they feel powerless. But here's the thing. We as Christians are called to power. We are given power, and the power that has been given to us, God intends for us to use it, right? God does not give a gift simply that, you know, you can carry it around with you. His expectation is that you use it. So where do we find true power? Look at James 5:16, the second half of 16:18. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being just like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. Prayer. True power, when you are at your most powerful, is when you are in prayer. We know it, right? I mean, if you sit in the pews at any given time, you know that the expectation of your pastor and the church and the Christian faith is that you have a strong prayer life. Now, how many of you would actually admit that? Most of us wouldn't raise our hands there. And if we're honest, I'll even be honest, it's kind of tough to preach on this one because I would dare say none of us or few of us feel adequate in our prayer lives. In our heart of heart, we know how important it is. We know that it is powerful, but we struggle in its execution. And it's almost like James realized that because he said what, right? The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. That's a bold statement. There it is. Any arguments? And then instantly he goes into an example because he knew if you were reading that and you're a regular human, that would be tough to swallow. And so he goes, all right, Elijah. And we know that Elijah was a prophet. He's the one that went against the prophets of Baal. He had prayed for no rain and all that stuff. But look at how James spells it out. Elijah was what? A human being just like who? You. So what he's saying in that, right, is like prayer is powerful and effective. Look at Elijah. He's a wonderful example. And he's just like you. Now, any given day, how like Elijah do you feel? There's that disconnect. It's hard. And I think we have to fight to keep growing our prayer life. I think we need to fight to be consistent. We cannot give up. We can't just get to a point and go, this is as good as it gets. And here's why. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Incredible. A lot of good stuff in here, but I just quickly. Number one, some reminders. We are at war. If you don't realize it, again, I tell you not to watch the news, but you don't have to spend any amount of time looking at our country and the world and all those things to recognize that we are in a spiritual war. But you're not just left hanging, that we are armed, right? We have weapons. We are to be active. This is not some, costume sword or blade or things that you wear to look good. God's intention is, again, if we are at war and you've been given a weapon, to utilize it, right? To tear down strongholds. And then he gets really specific here because it tells us what kind of power we have. And what is it? Divine power. God's power. Now, I started this sermon by making a statement and a speculation that there are a lot of Christians that feel powerless. So now I ask the question, why? You look at the two verses I just shared with you. Number one, the prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And number two, you have been given, and again, this verse doesn't necessarily say that prayer is a weapon that we have, but when you look at the course of the rest of the scripture, I don't think you can argue against that. So prayer is this weapon, and it gives us divine power. So why don't we feel it? Why don't we utilize it? Why, we have this amazing power offered to each and every one of us. Why don't we make better usage of it? And I think as I was studying for this sermon, I think the Bible gives us some hints about our predicament. Now, let's go back to the first two verses I shared, right? The prayer of power, righteous and effective. Elijah, just like us, prayed, held up the rain, prayed again, and it rained, all that, right? Here's the example, same set of verses. So where's the possible hang up there? The prayers of who? The righteous. Now, let's be honest with each other. How many of you would describe yourself as righteous? How many of us on a regular basis feel righteous? But here's the thing. Satan wants you to think and feel that you're not. Because if you don't feel righteous, then this verse doesn't speak to you, doesn't speak about you. And because prayer is such a weapon, who do we wage our war against? Satan. So if he can take your major weapon away from you, then he's not worried about you. And the fact that, again, Satan hinders and tries to downplay prayer so much should, on the flip side, tell you how scared of it and how powerful it truly is. If Satan is regularly battling against our understanding of prayer and how powerful, battling against us even simply participating in it, it speaks to he does not want you to wield that weapon against him or his strongholds. And this is what we need to remember. Look, yeah, you're not righteous, neither am I, but the one that lives in you, and that's the key. We don't try any of this stuff in our own righteousness. It is the righteousness that is in us because Jesus Christ lives within us. And to steal something from last week, that is the real truth of who you are. If Jesus Christ is within you, you are righteous, which in turn makes your prayer powerful and effective. That is the word of God. That is the truth that you live in. But even as I say that, there are some of you sitting in the pew and you're thinking to yourself, but Pastor Todd, you don't understand how hard it is for me, how I struggle against prayer. Man, it's so natural for you, and I'd love to hear you pray, yada, yada, all that stuff. And we let ourselves off the hook and we just struggle and we doubt ourselves. Well, let me remind you of another important biblical truth. Look at Matthew 17:20, and this is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. He said to them, because of your little faith, For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. And nothing will be impossible for you. So context here. A man brings his son. His son had a demon. He's having these seizures. He even rolls in the fire. So this father is desperate to get help for his son. So he brings him first to the disciples. The disciples, hey, they've seen Jesus do this. So they do all this stuff. And they can't get rid of the demon. So what do? They go to Jesus and they ask this question. Why can't we do this? In this verse I just read is Jesus' answer. And he says two profound things here. Number one, because of your little faith. I mean, Jesus doesn't pull any punches here. There's a direct need in front of them. They can't get it done. And he calls them out on it. And, and in some ways it seems so harsh that Jesus Christ is doing this. But here's the thing. And they needed to grasp the secondary truth thing here, right? If you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, you don't need a great faith. You just need a little itty bitty bit of it. It takes so little faith for us to move on our parts. And this is great because we don't bring a whole lot to the table. I mean, if this verse said, look, you need faith like a boulder, we'd give up on this thing in a heartbeat. But man, a mustard seed, even on your worst days, at least it feels like we're capable of it. It feels like it's within our grasp to hold on to. Faith like a mustard seed. Because here's the thing. It's not about how much we have faith. It's how big what we put our faith in that matters. The question becomes is, how big is your God? That's always going to be in prayer, in all of this, a question we can't get away from. I mean, here's the thing. Do you ever think you're praying about something that God can't handle? Now, we wouldn't dare say that. We wouldn't let those words come out of our lips, but often in our lives, we act like it. We're in the middle of something, and we're just like, we don't run to the Father because either we have absolutely no faith, or in some way, shape, or form, we either think God doesn't care, it's either too small, or, man, I have to figure this out. And again, those are all things that Satan loves to throw at us. Why? Because he knows how powerful and effective your prayers can be. Satan battles against that. But even as I share this one, I don't think it's probably bringing comfort to all of you, because some of you are thinking, look, if the disciples who spent time with Jesus and saw his miracles didn't have enough faith, what chance do I have? Right? That verse. Because of your little faith. How many, have you ever seen Jesus? Not through someone else? You ever seen Jesus perform a miracle? So we read this, and it's hard for us to even grasp hold of that concept. So this story is also told in the book of Mark. And so the disciples fail. The father, God bless him, he doesn't give up on it. So he finally gets to Jesus, and as soon as he sees Jesus, he starts making his case. And he's like, Jesus, man, if you could just, it would be okay. And Jesus goes, what? If? And I love this because I think this shows Jesus' sense of humor, right? So here this father is just torn down. And Jesus said, if I can do anything, instantly, right? The father is terrified because he's thinking, here I had a shot to get my son help. And he freaks out, and this is what he says. Mark 9:24. Immediately, the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. So here's the thing. That works for you as well. If you are ever feeling you don't have enough faith to pray, if you are ever feeling that you do not have power in your prayer, that it isn't powerful, it is not effective, I would challenge you and you say, have you ever simply asked God to help? Have you ever said, Lord, here is what I'm dealing with. I know you're all powerful. I'm struggling this. I believe, but help my unbelief. That is a legitimate prayer and a cry to our Heavenly Father. I mean, again, his intention for you is to be praying powerfully and effectively. If there's something that stands in the way of that happening, don't you think he wants you to get through it? Thank you. This is common sense. God wants this. This is in the way. God will help you get past that. Prayer to be powerful and effective. James 4:2 says what? You have not because you've asked not. There is no excuse for us not to have a powerful prayer life. None. Besides us being lazy or not asking God to raise us up. It's that simple. If you want it bad enough, you'll go for it. I had lunch with my youth pastor group, and I hadn't seen this one guy since December, and he's younger, and he sat by next to me. He's like, man, Todd, you've lost a lot of weight. And I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'd like to. And I stopped him. I'm like, you'd like to? He's like, yeah, I'd like to, you know, lose 40 pounds. I said, like's not enough. I said, you got to want it. You got to want it so bad that you do what you need to get it. And that translates in the faith, right? We have to not just, boy, I'd like to have a prayer life. I'd like to walk closer to Jesus. I'd like to have an understanding better of the word. Well, life's not going to get you there. You have to have a deep conviction and a desire to say, Lord, man, I love that you've brought me this far, but you're not done with me yet. There's still places to grow. And again, I think in the prayer life, for all of us, we read about this power of prayer, and then we look around. We don't see it. So here are a couple things I want. I want you, as an individual, to have a more powerful prayer life. I want you to grasp the true power that is being offered to you. And I want us as a church to continue to become more powerful in prayer. And I, again, having been here almost 19 years, I can remember at the front end, and I do believe we've made strides in this area, without a doubt. But I don't think we're done yet. I don't think we'll ever be done until Jesus brings us home. But to continue. And in order to do these things, we have to make sure we really kind of understand the practical components of this in our lives. So I just want to show you a couple things that I really think speak to prayer. First one, Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now I know that a good portion of you hate this verse because you're worriers. You're anxious. And so it just feels like God is beating on you when he says, look, don't worry about anything. But here's the thing. I think what we need to, when you look at that first phrase, I would reference you back to just my last point I just said. I believe, help my unbelief. If you have that personality where you're anxious and worried, what you have to understand is as soon as in growth comes, as soon as I start feeling that, run to the Father. He gave you the personality. He understands your struggle. And so if that feeling anxiousness becomes a trigger for you to run to the Father, I mean, isn't it way harder to be worrying if you're in prayer when you are sitting and just giving it to God? And so that idea of we have not because we ask not, it falls into that. And then that second part, in everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. I mean, so what are we supposed to be praying about? Everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 makes it even clearer, right? Three words. Pray without ceasing. Again, now, this is one of those, if we're honest with ourselves, this is such a mind-blowing, hard concept. We don't even know if it's possible. So we just merely let ourselves off the hook because it's like, look, if this isn't even possible for me, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to stress over it because it's just not possible. So let me show something that I think speaks to this. Matthew 6:7-8, another verse about prayer, says, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this verse is telling us, along with, again, when we partner this with the whole pray without ceasing, praying about everything, is that we have to look at prayer differently. Prayer is not some incantation. It's not some ritual. Prayer is an ongoing conversation with a powerful God and friend who deeply cares about even the most minute and mundane aspects of your life. Every other person on the planet, your spouse included, loves you and cares about you, but there's some things you want to talk to them about that they don't give a rip about. It's harsh, but that's the truth. I mean, it's just the mundane things in life. And here God's going, I care you for you at such a deep level. I want to walk with you. Prayer needs to be an ongoing conversation with God. Just in the day-to-day, that prayer without ceasing doesn't mean that we're literally, it's throughout the day, just, Lord, hey, I'm feeling this. Lord, I'm seeing this. Lord, I've shared with this. If you ever, a name that you know pops into your head for no apparent reason, you need to pray for him. You don't need to know what it's about. I've done that, and I've done it enough times that then you text him and you're like, you have no idea what was going on. I don't need to. It's that ongoing thing. I even do the weird thing. If I ever focus on somebody's face who I drive by and I look and I'm like, why did I just focus? I give them a prayer as they drive by because I'm like, even if I was wrong, can anybody, you know, not use some prayer? So, you know, it's a drive-by praying. Feel free to take that. We all need it. And if you ever drive by me and I recognize you, I probably threw a prayer your way. You're welcome. All right. But we have to just get in that ongoing just conversation. And the more we do it, the more we work at it, the more we practice. You'll get better at it. It'll become part of your life's rhythm. And that's what I'm talking about. I was not nearly as good a prayer 20 years ago because I know this is important. I keep asking God to develop it in my life. This is not natural for me. I'm a doer. And still, now I'm finally at the point where prayer feels like I'm doing something. It hasn't always been that way. It feels passive, right? I'd rather put my hands on something. I'd rather be active. Now I've figured out you can do both at the same time. You can be active and you can be praying. So we have to keep working on it. And again, here's the thing. The more you do it, we know, if you do something for 30 days, it becomes a habit. Or better yet, the more you do it, and you actually see God answer those prayers. And so we get this momentum. And it just becomes, again, I've heard references of becoming prayer almost like breathing. And again, I can see that. Whereas when I was young, again, you're walking with God. He wants to know your heart. Two other things I want to show you quick about how to just prayer power powerfully and to grow in your prayer life. Matthew 18, 19, 20. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. Here's the thing. Praying by yourself is different than praying with other people. It just is. And if you've done both, you'll understand. And if you've done both, I would argue, you need both. And I'm going to broach the elephant in the room because I'm tiptoeing toward a place that makes a lot of you uncomfortable. I've heard it said, I can't pray in public. I'm going to encourage you this morning. If you're one of those people, again, I will refer back to, I believe, help my unbelief. I will refer back to you have not because you ask not. And if you say that, then what you do is you're letting yourself off the hook of ever learning and growing in this area. Again, it's simply a discussion with God. God understands our heart. God understands our fear, our trepidation. And there is no, show me here where God shows us a specific prayer form, grammar, and language. If you can do that, I'll let you off the hook if you don't have that down. Otherwise, what is it? It's just talking to God. Now, those of us that are raised in the church, and I've shared this, I love my aunt, but she prays King James. I mean, she, as soon as she goes into prayer, it's these and thous. Her whole tone changes. It becomes this holy thing. And I think that's why some of you fear that, because you're like, well, I don't use these and thous, and I don't have that formality and whatnot. And I would say it really doesn't matter because prayer comes from here. And I would also venture to say if you bring that fear to God, he's going to take it. Now, it doesn't matter how other people hear you. It really doesn't. And if you're around people that you just trust, that love you no matter what, I think we should have a freedom to help each other develop in this area. I mean, I believe our church is a pretty safe, loving, non-judgmental community. You are safe to pray here. Now, again, I'm not asking everyone to be able to pray during congregational prayer. That would take hours, and If the Holy Spirit showed up and did that, then we'd all hang tough, but by and large. But here's the thing. You are safe to pray here, to join here. And I don't want this to be, and I was really hesitant as I was working on my sermon, because I don't want to lay guilt on you. If this is one of those things that God is still working on you, I don't want to lay that guilt. Because I want to share this, because I believe that you are missing out on a beautiful aspect of the faith. I will tell you, growing up, prayer meeting didn't mean a whole lot, but now, praying with 2, 3, 4 individuals that are really just seeking God together are some of my favorite moments on the planet at this point. To sit in the presence where just, you can tell, there's no selfishness, it's not self-centered. We're just coming together and we are melding our hearts together with the eternal. It doesn't get much better than that. And if, you know, and if you're there and you have things to say, you have things on your heart, you need to share. You need to open, because frankly, I think you're missing out, and I think we are, because you are an image bearer of God. You are someone that God loves with an amazing love. You have things to offer whether you believe it or not. And simple prayer is a way that you share your heart with other people. So here's my open invitation to each and every one of you, all right? If you feel encouraged or convicted, depending on however the Holy Spirit's working on you, that you want to begin moving forward in this. That verse said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, my office is open whenever you want to pray. If you would like to come in and simply, the two of us would hold up something in prayer and just to help make you more comfortable, I would be willing to do that. Because again, I truly believe part of the power in prayer. And again, that second part of that verse said what? If two of you agree on earth, there's a different power there. And I think what I've learned about praying together, I pray differently with other people around than I do as an individual. And if I'm honest, I'm probably less selfish in my prayers when I'm with other people. Because when it's just me and God and he wants that, as hard as this is to confess, I will do it. I can be a little whiny with God. I can be a little complain a little bit, maybe a little anger. And whereas when I'm praying with other people, it tempers it, right? We know there's another person in the room, whether we're conscious or subconscious, and I think it's a purifying filter in some ways. And so, again, if I'm ever praying with you and you think there's whiny in me, then feel free to talk to me after the fact. But there's just something when a couple of us are together, and again, that verse where we're agreeing upon and whatnot, the fact that we can cause God to open up the doors of heaven and his power, that we can affect things when we come together in prayer, should be just an absolutely mind-blowing thing. And then finally, the other thing about true power in prayer, I think we see in 1 John 14:15, goes right with what I've been saying. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made from him. We are to be seeking to pray in God's will. That is when we are at our absolute most powerful, when we're praying in accordance where what God wants to move. And I don't understand, I'll be honest, why if God in some ways wants to do something, but he's just waiting for us to ask. I don't get that. But I think he's helping us rely on him. He's building our faith in those moments. And so I think there are things that God's going to will that we can't stop at all. But there's other things I think that he wants to do. But he is waiting for his people to simply ask him. I've shared with you, again, my fear of heaven is not the first judgment, the second one. Can you imagine God taking us as a church in the back room and going, here's the list of things that would have happened if you guys would have asked me, and you never did. Those are the things that weigh heavy on me. And so I even start praying, Lord, if I'm missing anything, if I'm not asking something that you want me to be asking, clue me in. It's that, right? I believe, but I unbelieve. I don't want to miss anything that God has for you, for us, as a church family. And so there is power when we pray in accordance with God's will. But this also, I don't think, negates for us praying specifically. Because again, we'll go, well, if I don't know what God's will is, I just, Lord, let your will be done, and it lets us off the hook. Here's the thing. Part of prayer is that ongoing conversation in relationship with him. So when we pray our hearts in specifics, he might say no, which is okay, but he wants to hear what's on our hearts. And it's for me, it's the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Jesus praying, if this cup can be passed from me, please, but not my will, but yours be done. That's how we need to pray. Lord, this is what is on my heart. This is what I think should happen. But if I'm wrong or this is not, then you know what? I bow to your will. And if we can pray in that, we will see God's power in that. This is about walking also, I think, in the step of the Spirit. Are you listening to the whispers of the Spirit? Are you daily walking with him? Because I think the more we are spending time in that, then more naturally we do pray God's will because we're more sensitive to what the Spirit is telling us. I think it's also, prayer is not a one-way conversation. Part of prayer is sitting and listening to see what God is telling us before we just dive in with all of our requests. And again, I would even say asking God, you have not because you ask not. Lord, I'm coming before you in prayer, and I want you just to take the lead because I want to pray with you. And so those simple things, just those little statements change the way we pray, and I love what we get. And this is the boldness we have in him. If we are praying, if we're seeking, we can be totally bold. If something's bothering you out in society and you just feel like, oh, there's nothing to be done, have you prayed about it? I mean, are you lifting it up to the Father in prayer? Are you expectant? I mean, you can look at all sorts of things in this world or maybe even closer to home. There's stuff going on in your life or your job or whatever, and you're exhausted and you're just frustrated. God is telling us that we can bring this to him in boldness. True, real power is at your disposal. Why would you not use it? My prayer for you is that this sermon would spark something in you, that maybe you see prayer in a new light, or that God uses this sermon to just draw you in or give you that desire to pray in a different way so that you can truly increase the power in your life. Look around you. There are people in this church that need prayer. There are people in this community that prayer. Our country needs prayer. Our world needs prayer. There are people that are lost. There are people that are hurting. And the biggest thing you can do for them, the most powerful thing you can do for all of that, is to pray. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. And yet, these are those sermons that don't necessarily make us feel good, but it is awfully convicting. But we will humbly come before you and state that we absolutely believe it to be true, that you have given us power, that you intend for us to use it. So Lord, for all of us, I would just ask that you would open our eyes to where we need to step forward. That if we're at that point where we just need to ask you to help us do it better, to help us have more faith, to help us look at it in a new light, we want to be a church of powerful prayer. We want to be individuals with powerful that pray with powerful prayer. We want to see you answer prayer on a regular basis. We want to pray without ceasing. We want to walk in your power and light and be conduits of your grace and power on this planet. To make that happen, Lord, we don't even know the specifics that we're supposed to ask for, but you do. So we just humbly lay our lives down before you once again, ask that, Lord, we will be different tomorrow than we were today because we've spent time with you, we've encountered you, and that you have helped your word penetrate our hearts and you've brought us into a deeper place in you. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.